Country with your host, Dave Woods. This is the radio show where country music gets up close and personal.
Spend some time in the country and get to know our guests. Spend some time in the country where the music's the best. The latest news and memories, two great stories that get told.
Saskatchewan country artist Will Ardell won the Rising Star Award from the Saskatchewan Country Music Association in April of 2013. He's just released a new album entitled Reckless, featuring the current single Spokes in the Wheel. I'm so happy to have him here to talk about the album and to share a few songs from it. Let's welcome Will Ardell to the show. Hey, Will.
Hey, Dave. How are you doing tonight?
Hey, doing just great, and been looking forward to this. Had you on the show in July of last year, the year that just wrapped up, and now you've got a brand new album out.
Yeah, just released here January 1st, and 10 tracks on it. Real excited. Put a lot of work into it over the summer with Paul Carroll there in Newmarket at Private Record Studios, and did a couple recordings down in Nashville. And yeah, I've had really good response so far, and I'm really, really excited about it.
Well, it sounds great. I've had a chance to sample some of the tunes, and of course we've got three full songs to share on the show here with different styles, which is really cool. Each of these, it's a different side of you, a different musical side of you, isn't it, Will?
Yeah, I think I always try to be very diverse in the way I write songs and in the way I record them, and I think that's one of my strong points, I'd like to think, and we always try to continue to create the authentic nature of each song. So it doesn't always have to have the same sound on the whole album, but it has to be the sound that song would require. So it's a side that I really try to explore and to be creative and dynamic in that process.
Now, the name of the album is Reckless, which is also one of the songs from it. Was there any significance beyond that there's a song on the album called Reckless? Does that sum up anything about you or the music?
Yeah, I think it does to some extent, and the people who probably know me, and to a lot of extent the work of and the lifestyle I've had for my early 20s especially and into my later 20s. So it was kind of a culmination of a lot of those environments and events and the people I knew and hung around with, and it's kind of my stories, and I like to portray that as such on the songs that I write.
Now, when you put together an album like this, you've got 10 tracks on it. I'm sure that you wrote a bunch more than that and had to narrow it down. How did that process work for you?
I think a lot of times we just try to find songs that are, I guess, would suit the theme of the album somewhat, which is reckless. But yeah, definitely, like I went into the studio, I think we had from about 35 shortlisted, and then we just kind of selected the ones that seemed to flow together well for the album and all seemed to work out in the end. And from listening to it now start to finish, I think we made all the right selections, and I'm really, really proud of it.
There's a really cool song on here on your album called Chains, and what I love about it is there's a recitation in it. You're speaking some of the verses, which is a really cool effect.
Yeah, and I always love those older style of country songs that did that, and like Johnny Cash had, you know, A Boy Named Sue, and different kind of speaking elements to it. And I think that song was actually written probably, I would say, about 12 years ago now. I wrote it when I was probably around 20-ish. But it was one that was more of a poetry aspect to that. I did a lot of poetry growing up, and this is one that it really seemed to work out well, and it kind of explained some of my life and my emotions at the time. And it was one that it's kind of a different nature to it, but a one that works really well, I think.
Yeah, I love recitations and the music in the background, of course, and then back into singing within that same song. It's a really cool effect, I guess, or just it's really neat to listen to. And you mentioned poetry there, and reading in your bio, you did a lot of poetry growing up and won some contests, some pretty big contests, in fact. How did you find the transition from poetry to lyrics for a song?
It's actually not, for me, it was never really a bigger or a very big jump. I guess the part that was always more of a challenge is to create the melody and stuff, but it was something that was fairly natural when I started going into the music side of it. And I think, like any lyricist, that's half your battle, is to come up with good lyrics that are relevant and speak to the person or to yourself or to your soul. And it, to me, wasn't a really big jump. I think I've learned a lot being around other artists now and how to fine-tune that craft and to become more efficient in use of words and stuff, but it was not a huge jump.
There's a song on here that I know you wrote with a songwriter that I know, and I love the title. It's one of those, when you hear the title, you want to hear the song, High on Life, Low on Cash.
Yeah, I wrote that with Terry Fernahal. He's out there in Ontario, and got to know Terry over the summer here in this past year, I guess, and it pretty well describes my upbringing. I think for a lot of people in life, that they're high on life, but they're low on cash. It seems to be a constant theme. So,
it's true.
It's kind of a real fun song and a real anthem of the farmers, I guess, Western Canada, and for a lot of people, I suppose.
Yeah, it must be great when you can write those songs that become anthems that you relate to, as you said, but now that you put it out there, people who listen to it say, hey, I can relate to that, and it's a fun song, and it's got to be great to create songs that connect with people.
Absolutely, and that's what I always try to maintain is that, like I've said before, the authenticity and the honesty in my songs, and of course, working with Terry, he's a brilliant writer and lyricist, so
yeah.
We kind of got together and traded some ideas back and forth, and next thing you know, we're cutting it in studio, and I think it just turned out phenomenal. It's a real fun song to play live.
Let's turn to another song that is an anthem for the working people out there. We heard a bit of it off the top of the show. It's called Spokes in the Wheel. It's your current single. We're going to play it in just a few moments for everybody. But what can you tell us about the song?
I think Spokes in the Wheel, it pretty well covers all the bases of a lot of the people in life that maybe don't get the recognition for the work they do, but they keep the axle moving. And, you know, a lot of your day-to-day chores and events that go on in the world, and these people are the ones that keep everything running smoothly, and that was kind of a thank you to them and a tribute to them. And of course, a lot of the people I've worked with would be considered spokes in the wheel, but every one of them plays a vital role and keeps the wheel in motion.
This is Saskatchewan country music artist Will Ardell and Spokes in the Wheel on In the Country.
Seven-day home. Here's to the loved ones. for being the spokes in the wheel.
My guest, Will Ardell and Spokes in the Wheel. His website is willardell.com, and the album Reckless is available at iTunes for purchase. And, man, that is such a great song, Will. It's so catchy and has such a great message for working people everywhere.
Well, thank you very much. Yeah, it's one that I was telling my friend here, we listened to the other day, it's one that if you're in a bad mood, you just can't help smile when you hear it playing on the radio. And we were listening to it driving down the highway, and I can't remember what I was grumbling about, but that song came on the CD, and I was like, oh, yeah, you just can't help but start laughing and kind of stomping along to it. So I hope everyone else enjoys it as much as I do.
Yeah, it's a feel-good song, a happy song, and it doesn't stop from start to finish. It just has that energy to it, which is great. We have a couple of other of your songs coming up, including 10,000 Candles, which you have said is your favorite song from the album, and it's really powerful. Looking forward to sharing that one. So congratulations earlier in 2013, winning that Rising Star Award from the Saskatchewan Country Music Association.
Oh, thank you very much. It was obviously a real honor, and I don't think anyone was more shocked than myself, and I think they may have had to recount the votes because I wasn't sure if I was correct. But yeah, it was a very, very exciting time, and I was sure blown away by the support that I received.
It's so great that these different provinces have the country music bodies that they do to support and look out for, you know, country artists within their province.
Yeah, and it was, well, the SCMA was where I pretty well got my first start with, especially the Southwest chapter, and Glenna Switzer, I've always said, was very instrumental in me coming aboard and getting my music out there, and of course Bev Hallett, who kind of led me in the right direction as well. But through a lot of the networking, a lot of the artists that I've met, really, really amazed at the talent that Saskatchewan especially, and I suppose every other province out there, has in their own organizations, and it's something we can all be very, very proud of.
What advice, Will, would you give to singer-songwriters out there who are starting out, might be in their teens, starting to get, you know, got a guitar for Christmas, say, and they want to write songs and just sort of make their way towards recording a CD and performing? Any bits of advice to guide them on that way?
I think from a songwriter perspective, about all I could say is just write with your heart and with your soul, and you can never go wrong. You know, if you're in it for the monetary reasons, there's probably quicker ways to make money than songwriting or music, but it's definitely something that feeds the soul, and I think that, for me, is the most important part, and that's the aspect I really, really enjoy about songwriting, and I'm glad that it just happens to relate to other people as well when I do write my songs. So I think if you stick with that avenue, you can never go wrong, and that's maybe not even only in songwriting, but every aspect of life. Always follow your heart.
That is great advice indeed, because, yeah, if you're trying to be something you're not or looking for quick money, which, you know, it isn't going to happen, and the quality of the songs are going to suffer because of it. And I mentioned getting guitars at Christmas, and when you were 19, you got your first guitar, and that must have been pretty cool. I know it's always exciting when somebody gets their first guitar and they start to explore the possibilities of what they can do with it.
Yeah, it was actually kind of fun that winter, because it wasn't fun in the aspect I broke my foot. But it was great in the aspect that I had started practicing my guitar and learning. But I think at that time, too, and I feel bad for the people who are around me, because I thought everything I did was awesome when, in fact, probably didn't sound that good. So it was a real learning curve, and I appreciate all my friends and family not smashing my guitar and telling me to get a real job. So it paid off, I think, a little bit in the end. But, yeah, it was definitely a really, and I think that's the best part about learning and creating, and especially something new, is that there's so much excitement there, and it's always a trick to try and maintain that excitement the longer you do it, and I always try to find ways to do that as well.
Yeah, when you're starting with a blank page and an empty recording, in other words, you're just starting out and the ideas are starting to flow, and now you're filling up that tape and that piece of paper and things are starting to come. That's a great feeling, isn't it, when that song comes from wherever it comes from, right? It's such a mysterious place.
Yeah, you know, and sometimes there's really no rhyme or reason to where the songs come from, whether it's you happen to be in an event or something happens or somebody tells you a story or whatever. For me personally, I really don't know a lot of times where they do come from, but I'm just glad they're there. And I find, especially this last year when we were playing so much too, and constantly the pressures of putting out albums and songs and all that comes with it, I think I did lose a bit of that creative spirit. So it was essential that I did take some time here this fall just to step back after we were done the recording and just get a little bit of a break, because if you indulge yourself too much, for me, I find that I get tunnel vision and it can be hard to break away from. So in that sense, it was good to take some time back, or time away, and reevaluate and then get back to why I really enjoyed songwriting and singing in the first place.
Yeah, it's so true. Sometimes you do need that break from something, from the music, and as you said, stepping back and just recharging and going back to it fresh. When you're in the studio, do you have a favorite part about it, whether it's just the singing itself or maybe hearing the production come together?
I think for me it would have to be the actual singing part of it, because this being my second album, I was a little more comfortable in the vocal deliveries and putting more emotion into my voice. And of course, Paul Carroll was very essential with that. Really had a relaxed environment, and each song we created the atmosphere for it while recording the vocals. And I think that really, really helped, and it was my favorite part, you know, because it's something I've really enjoyed doing, to be able to portray, hopefully portray that emotion in my voice. And that's probably the best part about being in studio.
And that's so great, because I mean, so much of being an artist is putting the emotion into a song. It's not just the technical aspect of singing it right and that. It's that extra bit. I think that's what we love about people who are artists, you know, who can do that, who can make us believe in the song as they're singing it.
Absolutely, and I think that's very essential, especially in today's environment where the studio process has become more digital and more, for lack of a better word, it's kind of become generic in a lot of ways, the way it's all
right.
Produced. So if we can, as artists, try to portray a little bit of individuality to our art, that's what's going to separate us and hopefully make us stand out and make people believe what we're singing and what we're writing about.
Now, I want to come back in a few moments and talk about some of your influences and even some of your favorite cover songs to do, but we're going to turn to another song from the album Reckless, which was just released a couple of days ago, so it's very new, which is great. We're getting a sneak peek at these songs, and this new one is called 10,000 Candles, and there's a great part of the song that's very special to have you talk about. You've got some guests joining you on it. Tell us about the song, Will.
This song was written by Roger Wade from the States there in the Nashville area, and it was one that when I saw the lyrics to it, there was no way I could pass it up, because it, to me, it was some of the best poetry, visualized lyrics I had ever seen. And so I kind of recorded a quick demo of it, and once we kind of listened to it and thought about how we were going to produce it, it was an absolute no-brainer. And I was very fortunate to have the York Policeman's Choir to back me up on it, and they did such an amazing job. We recorded them 3 to 5 individuals at a time, but it just turned out phenomenal. I'm so proud to have them on, and I thank them to this day for it, because it just sounds phenomenal.
That's so amazing that you found this song, it found you, you listened to it and loved it so much. What do you want people to hear in the song or take away from it as they're listening?
I think, for me, it's such an emotional, heartfelt song, and it's written about a lot of the people that built our country, whether it be the U.S. or Canada, and just the survival nature of man, and what we lived through, I guess, our whole lives. And to me, that is what this song embodies, and it's such a powerful imagery in all the words. And I think the only way for me to describe it is just to tell people to listen to it, because once they listen to it, they'll understand what I'm talking about.
This is Will Ardell and 10,000 Candles here on In the Country.
It's a shame the flame must melt the candle to survive, and the train must leave the station to arrive. The honeybee leads the thieves back to the hive. What's killing me's kind of keeping me alive. And I have burned 10,000 candles. I have rode 100 trains, stolen sweetness from the vandals, and lived my life like Jesse James. In the end, the wind will spread my ashes across the sky, and tears will drench the lashes of your eyes. But I'll be free from hollow trees and cross ties, and your love will remain my last disguise. My life like Jesse James.
Saskatchewan country music artist Will Ardell, brand new from his album Reckless, available on iTunes. That is called 10,000 Candles. Will, wow, that is such a special, powerful song.
Well, thank you very much, yeah, and I think it all came together with Paul Carroll on his production on that, and we discussed it back and forth, and yeah, it just, to me, it couldn't have been any better, and it still raises the hair on my arms if I listen to it, and I've listened to it probably, you know, 100 times already in the past 2 weeks, and it still has the same effect, so I'm really proud of it.
Yeah, it's so moving to listen to the production on it, the lyrics, as you said, the singing, just the whole song is quite moving. Now, I understand that you shot a video for this song.
We did. We when I was in Alabama, we shot it in Montgomery, Alabama, at Union Station. And it's the video is going to be dedicated to Wayne Mills, who unfortunately lost his life here later this last year. And
right.
It's something that it should be out here within the next, I'm guessing, 2 weeks. So I'm really, really excited about it. And it's a very moving video, and I think it really does match the song.
We look forward to checking that video out. And you also did some writing at Hank Williams' cabin, and I want to hear the story. There's a picture which is at our main site of you at Hank Williams' cabin, and tell us about that. Hank Senior.
Yeah, it was very Hank Senior's original cabin, which they've kind of got as a historical piece there. But we did our photo shoots for the album there with Melinda Harlan, who was the photographer at the time for me, and she took us down there. And it was a real surreal experience just to sit on the porch there, which is all original, the way Hank Sr. had it, and with that sliding chair and the other chair that was sitting there. And then the inside was pretty well left the same way with Hank when he had it. So it was kind of a real moving experience, and you could almost sense the ghost and the history of country music that originated in that cabin. So, yeah, well,
wow.
I took the opportunity to do some writing and just kind of soak in that whole environment.
Now, I grew up listening to Hank Williams a lot because my dad is a huge fan still to this day of his music, so I know all the Hank Williams songs inside and out. And just as you said, the ghost of Hank Williams there in the songwriting, I mean, he could write the songs from heartache to happiness to gospel songs. He did it all.
He absolutely did. And you know what? Everything we listen to today, as far as country music and the different branches and genres that it's kind of gone into, we can pretty well say it all started with him in the mainstream form. And we can always look back and honor people of that nature, especially someone as great in his stature, just pay tribute to the legends. And I think it's something we should all try to do in all forms of music.
I think it's great, yeah, with every genre of music. I mean, to keep those legends alive with paying respect to them, and whether it's singing their songs however you do that, but just so people know somebody like Hank Williams, because I still love listening to his music in present day. Now, let's talk about some of your influences. I know that Steve Earle is in there, Townes Van Zandt, Johnny Cash. Maybe talk about some of those influences that led you to follow the path of music.
I think, yeah, Johnny Cash would have been one of my biggest contemporary influences in the past 10 years, as far as a lot of the songs he sang and his style of music, which was very, when it came out, was probably borderline, you know, between rock and between country. And it kind of set a little bit of a precedent and blazed a trail. And, of course, Townes Van Zandt was a brilliant, brilliant songwriter. And I just discovered him when I was about 14 or 15, but listening to some of his lyrics, just had such a way with poetry. And I think that was something that always drew me in, someone who could tell you an exact emotion in a few words, or could speak a whole year in a song of your life. And
yeah,
that was something that always drew me in. Of course, Steve Earle was another great one. Waylon Jennings, probably I thought was one of the best vocalists in the last 30 years, unique vocalists. So yeah, all those people were very influential, and I guess some of the styles that you don't try to copy them, but they're always leaving a mark, and you do mimic them to some extent.
Yeah, it's the music you want to share with other people. You love it so much, so you put it into your songs, or at least the style of it, to conjure it up. Now, what about cover songs? Do you include some of those in your shows?
Yeah, I do. I do a few Waylon songs, and of course Johnny Cash. They kind of fit my range, so it's really easy for me to pull those off, I guess. And of course, I do a lot of Jamie Johnson cover songs. I've been a real big fan of him since he came out with, especially with his last three albums. So I do a lot of his stuff too, and believe it or not, I even cover some Hank 3. I've been kind of a fan of Hank 3, and always he's more out in the one side of the spectrum, but he still keeps it sound pretty legitimate, and he's got some really good songs that I enjoy covering.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of Hank the Third's music, and as you said, it's a bit different, but you can hear a lot of twang in the stuff he does, and authenticity, regardless of, even though it's more on the rock side.
Absolutely, yeah. He definitely stays legitimate to himself, and he's very diverse, and I think as an artist, I really respect that about other artists, how diverse they can be. And I know he's covered some metal, and he's done country, so he's gone all over the spectrum.
Yeah.
But no doubt, definitely very, very talented. And I love covering some of his, especially off, I think it was the Straight to Hell album. We did quite a few songs off that.
Now, do you find in your shows, when you perform and have a chance to talk to people, that they're really excited and look forward to hearing the traditional country stuff, even though, of course, they love the new stuff, but there is a hunger out there to hear some of these more traditional-sounding songs?
I think there is, and I think there's always certain songs, especially that when you play in a live environment, that people really want to hear and that have withstood the test of time. So I think as a songwriter, you always want to try emulate that with your own style of songs. I think sometimes, unfortunately, now the songs have gone to be more disposable in a way that it's not maybe the writing, but it's just how quickly things turn over in the industry. But
right,
there's always those songs like You Folsom Prison, everybody knows, Dust on the Bottle, everybody knows, that have stuck around for so long. So I think you always want to try to hopefully emulate that, even though it's maybe a tougher task nowadays. But still the same thing. I think people really want to hear good songs, no matter what the genre and what brand of country they are, so to speak.
Let's turn to another song from your album Reckless, which has just been released. We're getting a chance to hear songs from it. And, of course, people can head to your website, willardell.com, and iTunes is where they can purchase the album from. So this one is called Dangerous Eyes. And, again, it takes us into a different style of your music, a different sound. What can you tell us about this one?
This one was actually came from just a guitar track I was playing just at home one day, and I wrestled around with lyrics on it for almost a month, and I couldn't find the suitable lyrics for it, but went into studio, and I didn't have any lyrics written for it. I knew I was going to record it, so sometimes it seems I just work better under pressure. I don't know why. But about half an hour before we were set to lay everything down, then I came up with this idea in my head, and I kind of wrote it in a way that it's generic in a sense, but it could apply to three different types of thought processes, where the person I'm talking about could be a physical person that's real, or it could be a memory, or it could be something I'm battling inside of me in my soul. So I kind of purposely left it like that, and it just flowed out of me when I was sitting there in the studio, and we laid it down. It's actually one of my favorites off the album as well. I bet you'd be right behind 10,000 Candles.
Wow. You know, that's so interesting when you talk about how you can interpret this song different ways, because a lot of times you hear people say, you know, be specific in songs and really paint the picture. But I love songs that leave room for us as listeners to, you know, interpret it the way it feels to us, so it can become our song, and we could take it in any of those directions you mentioned.
Absolutely. I think that's one thing I've really noticed listening to other songwriters who I really, really respect, is they have a way of putting things down that it may mean something different to them, and it may mean something different to you, but it still has a really good meaning to it. And
yeah,
that's what I really tried to do with that song, and I think it came out like that, in my own opinion, but I guess everyone else has their own interpretation, and I really hope they enjoy it nonetheless.
Let's hear it now. This is Will Ardell and Dangerous Eyes on In the Country.
Thank you.
And that is Will Ardell, another new song from his just-released album. The album's called Reckless. That is Dangerous Eyes. And again, Will's website is willardell.com. The album is available on iTunes. Now, you recorded a lot of this in Saskatchewan, and also you mentioned you did some recording in Nashville.
Yeah, we recorded two songs off the album with T.W. Cargyle there in Nashville, and By the Way was one of them. And the other one that's going to be released on the second edition of the album. This first release is a special edition, and it should be 400 copies of it are going to be made, and hard copies, and they're going to my, of course, I did Pledge Music campaign, so we're getting those out to the Pledge Music supporters, and this is a limited edition, and I'm really excited about the second edition, which will be coming out later this spring, featuring those other two songs on it.
Oh, great. And what's your experience been like, Will, going down to Nashville and soaking in all the music that happens down there?
I've really, really enjoyed the environment. I think it's very inspiring for anyone who does go down there to really take the time to check out all the honky-tonks and all the live music venues, and it can really rejuvenate you. And I found that for me, we caught a lot of live music throughout Alabama and Nashville when we were down in the South. And, such a great time, and really came back with a whole bunch of creative ideas, and of course made a lot of friends on the trip as well. So it was a really, really fun experience.
Now, have you had a chance to, whether it's down there or even in your area, meet any of your musical heroes, artists you've looked up to, anything like that? Any chance to say hello or even see them pass by?
I did. Of course, I talk about Jamie Johnson a lot. He's been one of my biggest influences here in the past few years, but I had an opportunity to meet and greet with him here in Kentucky when we were down there, and that was probably the highlight of my life, as geeky as that sounds, but really nice guy, and we had a chance to talk with him and meet his band there, and yeah, it was a really, really cool experience, and so we probably got 1,000 pictures from that, but yeah, it was a lot of fun.
That's great. Yeah, I've been a big fan of his, probably before the song I'm about to mention came out, but definitely when this one hit, I knew who he was in color.
Absolutely, yeah, that was one that the minute I heard that, you could just tell that is a song right there. And I had to cover that as much as I could in my shows, but yeah, it's one that I don't think there's been one written as well as that for quite a few years, just how well it came across, and his delivery is so old school and traditional, and I really love that aspect of him.
Yeah, it's so great to hear that, because we don't hear it as much these days, so it's nice to still have artists who do that we can listen to. What about venues? Again, whether down in Nashville or in Saskatchewan, I know there's a lot of great country music venues there. What are some of the favorite places you enjoy performing at?
I actually enjoy performing at every one of these small town events that we do, and it because they're so intimate. And I think, especially in Saskatchewan, and anybody who's played a lot here, the people are so appreciative, and they really enjoy the live music. So every time we play, even in these little small town bars or these halls or these curling rinks, it's always a fun aspect because you're so close to the fans and to the people who get to know you as a person more so even than a singer. So. That, to me, is the best part of it all.
The brand new album is Reckless. It has just been released, and we got a chance to hear three of the songs from the album, very powerful songs, especially 10,000 Candles, a video to be released for that in the coming weeks. People can follow progress of that and find out when it's going to be released at willardell.com. You're on Facebook and Twitter, and, of course, iTunes is where they can get the album Reckless. Will, thank you so much for coming on the show so early on with the album and sharing the songs.
Well, thank you. It's my pleasure, Dave, and I appreciate you having me on as well.
Been my pleasure, and really enjoyed it, and great to talk with you again. My guest has been Saskatchewan country music artist Will Ardell. I'm Dave Woods. For more country music interviews, be sure to head on over to inthecountryinterviews.com.